I didn't hear you very well. Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Wanted to remind you about Ray Vonderlaan's coming. If you remember in 2013, we did a DVD series over here on Sunday nights, sometimes on Wednesdays, where we showed a video about Israel and Egypt, and we just learned so much from this. This God has really gifted Ray Vonderlaan in as far as teaching God's Word. He's going to be at the South Pittsburgh, going down 24 East towards Chattanooga, on Friday, March 6th, 7 to 9 p.m. and Saturday. There's information in your bulletin. You do have to just register for it. It's a free event. No charge at all for the event, but I guarantee you really will enjoy he's going to be talking about some cultural stuff from the Bible that will help you grow in your walk with God. And I wanted just to put in my two cents about the sacred assembly. I want you to understand there are no agendas for this thing, okay? This is just simply God's, just like convoy. It's everybody coming together, spirit of unity. We're just going to pray. There's going to be several ministers, local ministers and pastors praying. And it's going to be just simply us together as God's people in the square. We're just going to be praying for our country, praying for our county, for our city, that God will change some things. And it's going to be a wonderful day. Great day of worship as well. I think, Tommy, you're still going to be there? We're going to have several different worship teams from different churches for that day, so I think you'll really enjoy that. It's going to be a fantastic, fantastic day. Whenever you go to missionary school, and whether that's, you know, graduate school or wherever you go, I remember one of the things that they talked about in class in preparing to go to another culture to serve, to plant churches, to teach about Christ. You must understand the felt needs of your audience, okay? So if I'm going to Africa or I'm going to Brazil, those are two different felt needs. They're struggling with different things. And, for example, in Tanzania, they're wrestling with witchcraft and worship of ancestors. In Brazil, it's spiritism. It comes out in a different form. So there's different struggles, okay? Felt needs being the fears, what the family struggles with, the problems and issues of a community, what their belief system is. That's the felt needs, okay? And I've done a lot of, just this past week, I've been listening to what you're telling me. And I sense the felt needs of our congregation here in Manchester, Tennessee. I'm hearing some of you are wrestling, and a lot of us are struggling. Maybe you've lost a loved one recently. Maybe your marriage is going through a difficult time. Maybe you've lost your job, or there's some decisions that you're trying to make about the future, and you're wrestling with them. Whatever the felt need is, do we really need another sermon on the Trinity? You see my point? We need to talk about the felt needs of our people. See, when you go into another culture, they don't want to hear about what America's struggling with. They don't want to hear about, you know, some sermon on something that they have no idea what you're talking about. They want to know, can God meet my felt needs, what I am struggling with right now in my life? And we say, yes, He can. He can. And that is the best place to start. Whenever we start talking about our felt needs, our struggles, because I don't know what you brought into the house today. I don't know what you're dealing with right now in your life. I've heard this past week from a lot of you. And I know there's a lot of pain in this room right now. There's a lot of suffering. And there's a lot of problems in relationships. And I sensed from the Lord that, you know, maybe we just need to have a day where we remind ourselves that God is in control and He is taking history somewhere. And to remind you of some important truths, the promise, the one scripture that we can hold on to carry us through difficult times. Now, when it comes to dealing with these issues in our lives, when you're going through the divorce, when you're going through the loss of job, when you're going through a trial or a tragedy, you got to start with God. What do you believe about God? Because what you believe about God is what is going to carry you through difficult times. Amen? One of the areas I like to ask people about is, what are your core beliefs? I mean, what are the things that you will not move on? You know, for example, you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Yes, I believe that with all my heart. The Bible is the Word of God. But when it comes to the character of God, what do you believe about God? That He's good, that He's in control, always in control of every situation. That He unconditionally loves us. He accepts me as I am. He's faithful to all of His promises. Those are the kind of things I'm talking about. So when the tragedy hits and when the trial comes, you always can go back to what you know is true. Well, my life is in chaos right now, but I do know that God is good and that He still loves me. You know, I got the bill of cancer last week, but I do know that God is in control. You know? Your core beliefs, what you believe, what you hold on to, is what will carry you through difficult times. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Now, we're going to memorize this passage today. You're going to walk away today, and this is going to be on your heart all day long, all this week, guaranteed. And it will encourage you and strengthen you in your walk with God. Now, we know. Say it with me.
We know.
I don't believe you. Say it again.
We know.
We know. There is conviction about what you believe. It's not just showing up on Sunday and Wednesday night. There is conviction. And I'm here to tell you today, I think that's the problem with the church in America today. And the church worldwide, if I can just speak boldly. There's no conviction. We just tolerate everything around us without saying, hey, you know, that's wrong. Conviction. We know that in all things God works together for good. We know. Conviction. What will you never, ever compromise in your faith? Think about it for a minute. What is the one thing, two things, three things, whatever you're wrestling, thinking about right now, what are those things that you will never, ever compromise? I hope you have some in your life. I hope you have some in your faith. I will never, ever deny Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the Son of God. The Bible is the Word of God. It is the final authority in all things. He is coming back. There is going to be a judgment day. There is one way to heaven. It's through Jesus Christ. What will you never compromise? You've heard some of my list. It goes longer than that. Just last week, this picture really touches me. Coptic Egyptian Christians. They love Jesus. They're our brothers in Christ. And we, you all heard about what ISIS did to them and all that in Libya and all that stuff. They beheaded each one of them because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Now, my question that I've wrestled with that week is, what if I was one of those guys in the orange suits? What if you were one of those people? You've denied Him? I hope you wouldn't have. And it may come to that one day in this country. We don't know. But I like to think about, I admire and respect each of those men who are now enjoying glory and honor because they did not deny their faith in Christ. We know that in all things, look at your neighbor and says, he's talking about all things. Your neighbor didn't hear you. Say it again. Now, when God says all things, He means all things. And you can fill in the blank. And in good times and in bad times, when I got money, when I'm broke, when I'm healthy, when I'm sick, when I got a job, and when I don't have a job, when I have a wedding and when I have a divorce, when I'm in life and when I am death, when I'm strong in my faith and when I'm weak, God is with me in all things. He will never leave us or forsake us. God doesn't say, well, gee, Chris, you just don't have enough faith today. I'm not going to hang around you today. God loves you when you wake up on the wrong side of the morning. Amen. He still loves you. That's good news. We know that in all things, God works. God is working. Now, God doesn't go to sleep. He's not tired. He doesn't change. Just because you're having a bad day doesn't mean that God says, well, I'm going to stop being faithful. God is faithful. He is working in all things providentially. The people that you come in contact with daily, the people that you meet tomorrow, the people that you're going to meet in Walmart later today, they are divine appointments. And when you start looking at life in that way, that's when your life is going to change. You have got to see your life as not an accident, not some random choices that you make, but that providentially God is working in your life daily. If you are a surrendered follower of Christ, He is working in your life. The people you're going to come in contact with, just think about that. What are you going to tell them? Are they going to see Christ in you? Are they going to know that you are a follower of Jesus? That's the issue. And it's interesting that God uses the difficult circumstances, you know, the annoying boss, the annoying coworker. Oh, I've been there, believe me. I'm not talking about church-related stuff. I worked in factories. I worked in for a sound company. I remember those days. God uses the difficult circumstances to shape us, to chisel away the areas that we need to work on, the selfishness, the pride. God is working, and He likes to use the difficult circumstances, you know? And an important thing to understand, too, in all this is that to understand that He allows trials. He doesn't cause them. God is not the cause of your trial, your tragedy, your whatever you're wrestling with, but He allows them, you know? But it's for our good. Sometimes we need to be disciplined by the Lord. You know, we're stubborn, we're hard-headed, we're in sin, and we don't care. And God says, okay, it's time for a spanking. I've had enough. And God will allow a trial to come in and to get our attention to say, man, you know, my attitude has not been right lately, and I need to get my life right with God. You know, God allows trials as the testing of the genuineness of our faith. 1 Peter 1:7 tells us that. He likes to help us to grow, to test us, to help us for our good. And He develops He uses those trials as to develop a spirit of perseverance. Perseverance is that I am not going to give up spirit. You know, how are you going to have strength for the finish line? How are you going to make it through this life if you don't go through some trials? Because you start realizing if God took me through that trial, I can go through this next one. And I can wrestle and I can struggle. And in the whole process, God is forming and shaping our character. That's the good thing about trials. His motive, God's motive is always, always, always love. And I want you to understand that. He's not punishing us. He's not. He always says, you know, your ultimate good is the most important thing for me. And sometimes that may mean an uncomfortable situation, a difficult circumstance, because I love you and I'm not going to sugarcoat your life, okay, with mamby-pamby stuff, spiritual fluff, okay? Life is difficult. Let's just be honest. But God says, I will walk with you through those times and I will change, I will help you grow, and I will help bring ultimate good out of those trials. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. We love Him. I'm talking about Jesus freaks, okay? You're nuts about the Lord. Not just say, yeah, I love God. No, You love him. You honor him with your life. And it's interesting, this passage says this promise is only meant for those who love him. I'm sorry, but by your own choosing, all things work for bad for those who are living in rebellion against God. This promise is only for those who love Christ. And I want to make something very clear, because I know some of you are going to walk away from this and go, what about this? This promise of God working all things together for good for those who love him, it does not say God causes everything to have a happy ending on earth. It is not saying everything will work out the way we want it to. Because for each one of us in this room, we have, a lot of us, we know somebody in our family or a brother or sister in Christ who their life didn't end very happily. It was tragic. So I want you to understand that ultimate good is to be with God eternally. We sit there and we pray, you know, God, please heal this person. Please heal them. And when we don't see the results and the person dies, we think, well, God's not listening to me. Let me tell you something. Ultimate healing is with Jesus. To be with him eternally. That's healing. And we have to, when we pray, we have to surrender the outcome to God and say, God, whatever that healing looks like, whether it's, you know, maybe through medicine or through doctors or through hospitals or, you know, miraculously, you can heal this person without anything. Or if you take them home, whatever you decide is fine with me. That's the state we need to come to when we pray. That point with Job where you say, no matter what, I don't have to have blessings. I don't have to have everything working out good for me. I am going to praise the Lord no matter what. I'm going to trust him. See? And that was the temptation that Satan threw at Job and told God, God, he only trusts you because you're blessing him. You take away those blessings, he's not going to trust you. And Job proved him wrong. And he didn't understand what was going on, yet he continued to trust him and to praise him. That's the point we all need to get to in our walk with God. Where no matter what happens, no matter what the issue or the trial in my life, I am going to trust in the Lord. I am going to praise him. Because I guarantee you, when you're praising God during the suffering, man, you will know God in an intimate way that you've never experienced before. Because it's easy to praise God when all is going well. Praise him when the storm is there. That's a whole different story. For a follower of Jesus, it is always a win-win situation. Always. So you need to tell the person that has got the terminal disease, who's a faithful follower of Christ, it's a win-win situation. You win. We win. And I love to share this with people that the best is yet to come. This is not all there is. Thank God for that. The best is yet to come. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive what God has prepared for those who love him. You can't conceive it. Don't even try it. But the best is yet to come. And until you get to your walk with God and you can understand that, the trials are going to defeat you in your life. Because you don't have hope. You got to have hope. But it's got to be in Jesus and his promises. It can't be in anything in this world. It can't be in the doctors. It's got to be in him. The best is yet to come. Do you believe it, church? I don't believe you. Do you believe it, church?
Yes.
All right. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and those who are called according to his purpose. So what's God's purpose? What's God's purpose for your life? Amen? What's God's ultimate purpose? I mean, is the goal to get to heaven? No. What is the goal, family? The goal is to know and to love the Creator. That's the goal of my life. God's purpose for my life is Christlikeness. He tells us in the next verse, Romans 8:29, to conform to the image of His Son. That is God's greatest desire for you and I, that we be just like His Son. And that's why Jesus came, one of the many reasons, to show us how to live, to show us how to follow and be like the Father, to please God with our lives. And that is the Holy Spirit's task that you received in baptism, to transform us into Christ-likeness. And God does that through the Holy Spirit, and He does it through suffering. I love this passage from Philippians 3:10. I want to know Christ. You know, anybody there? Anybody want to know Christ? Yeah, we all want to know Christ. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection, that same power that lives in us. Okay? God wants to do a whole new makeover in your life. He doesn't want to do a little change here and there. He wants to do a whole makeover, son. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection, to share in His sufferings. Man, that's where we kind of, what? The rejection, the persecution, the betrayal, the hardships. Why, Paul? Why would you want to share in Jesus' sufferings? It's because in His sufferings, I get to know Him better. And I learn to depend on God, and God works in my trials. And we become like Him in His death, forgiving. He was so forgiving and merciful on the cross. We need that lesson. Man, if that's what it means to know Jesus, I'm not so sure about that. Suffering, become like Him in His death. I want to encourage you not to get off the altar. We are living sacrifices, right? We have a choice about whether we put our lives on the altar or not. If you really want to know God's will for your life, put your life on the altar. Put your whole life on it. Say, God, You got all of me. 100%, I am here. Use me. I am Yours. I am all in, as we talked about last week. Because it's in the trials, it's in the sufferings, that you're going to grow the most in your walk with God. You know, and it's nice to be on the mountain every now and then, but most of Christian walk should be probably trials. In the valley, wrestling, struggling, doubting, all those things are part of it. It's okay. Seek Him. He's faithful to all His promises. So when facing trials, you know, what are the things that we really want to know? I mean, if we could get down to brass tacks, what is the two things that God says that can carry us through the difficult times? Man, that is that God is not only with us, He is already in our future. You need to stop stressing about the future, guys. Quit turning off Fox News, okay? They don't know the future. The weatherman don't know the future. Okay? They're talking about snow on Wednesday. We don't know. God's the driver of that. That's God's problem. That's not my problem. And we start looking at the debt, the $20 trillion debt we have as a country, and oh, what are we going to do? We're going to trust in the Lord. That's what we're going to do. God is going to carry us. So you need to stop stressing about the future and trust the one that's already there. And whatever trial you have brought into this place today, whether it's disease, whether your marriage is crumbling, whatever is going on in your life, God is already there in the future. And if you will seek Him, He will guide you through that trial and that tribulation that you're going through right now. And ultimately, what we want to know when we wrestle, God is for us. God is for you, man. I like how Max Lucado does in his book. He emphasizes each word. God is for you. God is for you. God is for you. God is for you. I like that. My point today, if you hold on to this promise that God takes all things, He works all things for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose, And if you see the finish line, if you know that the finish line is right in front of you, and you will stop looking to the right and stop looking to the left and get your focus on God and let Him walk with you through these difficult trials, you can put up with any trial in this life. Because they're temporary. They are temporary, guys. But you don't understand, I've been dealing with this disease for 30, 40, 50 years. But it's not forever. And how is God using you to bring others to Him through your suffering? See, because how I respond to the trial is probably more important than the trial itself. Because the world is watching me to see, you know, what's this Christian going to do? You know, are they any different than me? And when we have joy and when we have peace amidst the trial, people are going to go, man, I want whatever you got. I want that. The reality is no one crosses the finish line without overcoming some junk. No one crosses the finish line without going through some difficulties in their lives. Ain't nobody gets off. It's just the way it is. We live in a fallen world. It's not God's fault that we live in a fallen world. It's our fault. And the faults of other people that make bad choices. God promises not only to walk with us, but He will take every trial and bring. He is for you. He wants you to succeed. He wants you to get to the finish line. And He doesn't drop a Bible out of the sky, you know. I always heard this analogy. I thought it was cool. He doesn't drop the Bible out of the sky and say, well, good luck. Have a good one. I'll see you at the finish line. He deposits His Holy Spirit in you saying, you know what, I'm going to guarantee what I start in you is what I'm going to finish in you. And I'm not only going to live inside you, I'm going to walk with you and make sure you get to the finish line. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to finish weak. I want to finish strong. I want to cross that finish line saying, there is nothing else I can give. I have given everything to you. Everything. Don't come to the end of your life saying, man, I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have given more of my life. Live in the moment now and give it all to God. So what then shall we say in response to these things? You guys are going to do the yellow part, by the way. If God is for us, who can be against us?
No one.
He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also along with Him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen?
No one.
It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who is raised to life, is at the right hand of God and also interceding for us. So my question to you today is, what are you facing? What's your storm right now? What are you dealing with? I know it's the first human response to say, you know, I'm worried, I'm nervous, I'm fearing the future, okay? But I want you to step back and remind yourself of the God that you serve and the promises that He makes. And instead of fearing the future and getting stressed out about things, just say, you know what, I'm going to give this to God, and God is going to bring good out of this. I don't know what that's going to look like, but He is going to bring good. Let's say it together. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose. Let's pray. Father, I know in a room like this that there are a lot of hurting people in this room right now. Oh, we put on the mask. We say everything's fine and I'm doing great and da-da-da. But in reality, Lord, I know there's a lot of pain in this room right now. People have diseases they're very frustrated with. People are having marriages are falling apart. Some of our folks don't have jobs. Some of our folks are struggling financially. Some of our folks have lost a loved one. Some of us don't even know what we believe anymore. And some of us have lots of doubts about you, and we're just here this morning because somebody said, well, I needed to come here this morning. And I want to pray for each individual here today, Lord, whatever they're going through, whatever they're wrestling with, I ask that your Holy Spirit will intercede and minister to them today. We thank you that the Holy Spirit often will intercede for us to you when we don't know what to say. When we just cry out to you, we say we need you. And I want to lift up every trial and struggle that we're going through right now, we're going through, Lord, and I want to pray that you will help us see what you're trying to teach us through it, first of all, but that you will give us the grace and the strength to walk through that trial. And help us, Father, show people, show the world what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And help us to respond trusting you, even though we may not understand or have all the questions answered. Help us make you look good in the marketplace. And I pray today a blessing over each family here today. Help us to grow. Help us to trust you. Help us to stretch us this week, Lord. We need to be stretched in our faith. And we thank you that today that you are the one that holds eternity and the future in the palm of your hand. And that's good enough for us. Forgive us for our worrying, for fearing the future, for getting all bent out of shape about stuff that we have absolutely no control over. We surrender it all to you today. Please take it from us so that we can focus on you and focus on the people around us and bringing you glory. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Jesus said, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. And I like to think that's the cross. I want to encourage you today, if you have not gotten your life right with God, this is the day of salvation. You don't need to leave this place without getting your life right with the Lord. Because you don't know what's going to happen when you pull out of this parking lot. We've got to be ready to meet the Lord. We've got to be ready to die. As soon as you're ready to die, then you're ready to live. What does God's Word tell us that we need to do to get our lives right with Him, to be forgiven of our sins? If you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you say, yes, in my heart, I have sinned against God, and I've rebelled against Him, and I can't save myself, I'm gonna put my trust in the finished work of the cross of Jesus. And I'm ready to change my ways. I'm ready to repent, to leave my old lifestyle of sin, and I want to follow Jesus Christ now in my life. Baptism is where you begin that walk with God, where you start over, where you are born again. And if you understand those four or five things, you are ready to follow Christ. I would encourage you to talk to one of us, talk to one of the shepherds. Don't leave today without getting your life right with God. Maybe today also you have been baptized, but you're saying, you know, I'm going through some trials right now, and I just need prayers. I just need encouragement. I'm really wrestling. And our shepherds will be glad to pray for you. If you don't want to come forward during the service, just grab one of them after the service and talk to them. They're here for you. We're all here for you. Whatever your need is, won't you come as we stand and sing.
Sorrow and care, hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Cast your care on Jesus today. Leave your worry and fear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Troubled soul, the Savior can see every heartache and tear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Is very near.
Today, and just hope that as you leave, you'll leave with the promise and confidence that Chris has spoken of, and that we've sung of in this last song about our burdens are lifted through what Jesus did at Calvary. And just remember those last words, He is near. He is near. Let's pray together. Holy God, we love you, and we just thank you so much for your goodness and your mercy. Father, we take such comfort and peace and assurance and knowing that you are the sovereign God of all creation, and that there is no sin, no problem, no challenge or trial that is too great for you. Father, we pray that we might always remember how close you are to us, that we would open our hearts to you, that we would walk with you day by day and turn our burdens over to you. Dear God, we love you and we just praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.